Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, brothers and sisters, and I thank you for joining in today. Thank you for honoring the Lord and studying His Word and doing it on purpose. The Lord doesn't miss things like that. He knows your work of faith, the Bible says, and the Lord knows the things that you do for Him, and it says that He keeps them in mind also. He knows what you do for Him. Today we're going to get back into our study of Man, the Measure of All Things. I hope that you've been reading over those scriptures, and I'm sure you have. And just kind of recapping and refreshing your thinking and your mind about these scriptures and what the Bible has to say about it. The last thing that we talked about was Jesus Christ's relation to man, if you remember. We talked about that one verse in Psalm chapter 8, verse 4 that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" That's a good question. That God would have anything to do. One thing that man does not understand is that God is not like man, and man is not like God. Man is a creature that God created. And the Lord is not like man. The Bible says He doesn't. His thinking is not like man. He doesn't think like man. And He doesn't reason. And His justice is different than man thinks. And the Lord is different. But we're created in His image. But that does not mean that we're like Him yet. We are in His image. And we were in the past state like Him and perfect. But since the present state, since the fall, and the present state that man is in right now, he's one of two things. He's either saved and in a regenerated state where he has God the Holy Ghost within his body and dwelling in him, and he's sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption, or either he's lost and he's on his way to hell, and he does not know the things of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Now, we talked about the future state, which is either heaven or hell, one or the other, depending on what your choice is, having to do with Jesus Christ and the gospel of the grace of God. Today we're going to get into another category, and mentioned it just before we closed out our last recording. We're going to look at some certain aspects of man that we need to consider. The first thing that we need to consider is that there is a first man, Adam, and a last man, Jesus Christ. Now this is scriptural. This is what the Bible says, that there's a first man and a last man. Now, we talked about the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being a man. He wasn't Jesus until He was named Jesus, and He wasn't named Jesus until He was born. The man, Christ Jesus. Okay? But Jesus, before He was born, was and is the Word of God. The Word of God. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 42 through 49, let me read this and we'll find out. We're going to look at five different aspects that we need to consider about man. Now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about man, the measure of all things. Is this true? Is it true, really true? I mean, is it a true statement? Is man the measure of all things? I mean, you look around you, and you've probably been out today or going out today or something like that, and you're going to look around, you're going to see people, and you're going to see advertisements, and you're going to see billboards, and you're going to see that television, you're going to see this and that and the other, you're going to run in and bump shoulders with people and say hi to people and stuff like this, and you're going to see how man behaves today. Well, after you've seen a day's worth of man, what do you conclude? Does it appear that man is the measure of all things? Man says he is. I mean, man thinks so much of man that he's booted God out. I can't think of a nation, unless it's one of the third world nations, that still honors the Lord as the Lord. All the powerful, all the big so-called powerful nations have booted the Lord out and have done it in the open and loud, America included. God's not welcome anymore. And we can look around us and see the evidence that God is withdrawing himself because things are falling apart much faster than they were before. It's only that the Lord was holding everything together that America looked like it was progressing. America's going to fall apart just like every other nation that ended in apostasy. But the first thing that we need to consider, an aspect of man, is that there's a first man and a last man. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 through 49 says this. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last man, the last Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have been born, and as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So you see, there's two completely different things that the Bible's trying to say about man right there, is that one man is a corrupt man. One man is a weak man. One man is a dishonorable man. One man is natural. Another man is incorruptible. He's glory. The Bible says that he is of glory. The Bible says that he is of power. The Bible says that he has a spiritual body, and so on and so forth. It says that the first man was made a living soul, and the second man is a quickening spirit. These are just completely different things here. Now we can see by the scriptures that the man is not the same as the Lord when it comes into being. Since the fall, man is not like the Lord when he's born, since the fall. Okay? He is a Trinity as God is, but his human spirit is dead to the things of God, that is, spiritual things. You see the difference that Brother Paul was trying to make about what we are when we were born, and we're in a natural state and a corruptible state. And what we are when we're born again, and the Holy Ghost is dwelling and regenerates us, and he teaches us in that verse that some things that we're going to have that we don't have yet. In other words, a heavenly body, it says such as they. Also, I'm sorry about what's going on here. I don't know what's happening. I guess it's the same one that's trying to hinder us all the time. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. You see, he's trying to encourage us, but he's trying to show us a difference there. That an aspect of man is that there is a difference in a saved man and an unsaved man, a natural man that has been born, that is corruptible, that is not regenerated, and a man that has been regenerated. Now, God is a Trinity, and man is a Trinity also. But his human spirit is dead to the things of God. That is, spiritual things. Now, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 10 through 16, and in chapter 8, verse 10 through 16, and chapter 6, verse 13, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness." You see, he's making a difference there, even though it's in one body. "But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You see the difference? One thing we need to consider about man is the difference of what being regenerated makes or does to a man. There is a difference in a man that is not in his natural state, that is living and is unsaved and is on his way to hell, and a man that has received Christ as his Savior and been regenerated and born again. A big difference. What about James chapter 2 and verse 26? The Bible says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." As the body without the spirit is dead. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1 through 7, listen to this. "For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For the he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." Now there's your evidence of whether or not you're trying to stop sinning or not. You're going to suffer to stop sinning. That's why it's so easy to sin. Because when you stop sinning and you quit sinning and you discipline yourself and you mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to start suffering for that. Because this body knows nothing but wanting to sin. It wants to sin. That's all it wants to do. And when you mortify and control this flesh, you're going to suffer for it. Okay? That's why it's so many Christians, that's why it's so easy to, that the devil is not, the devil knows how to tempt us and what to tempt us with. Or tries to anyway. The Bible says, and moving on there, it says that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our lives may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, and when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the quick and the dead? For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." A certain aspect of man that we need to consider is that there is a difference in men, all men. That all men are either in their natural state, unsaved, corruptible, or either they are in a regenerated state, like we was talking about before, and There's a first man and a last man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read a few more scriptures concerning this. 1 Peter chapter 4, and the Bible says, well, we just read that, excuse me. John chapter 6, verse 63, it says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And you got some people to say that book is just a piece of paper with words on it. That's not what my Bible says. Jesus said that his words are spiritual. His words are spiritual. "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing." The first man, Adam, and the last man, Jesus Christ. Now, you being born again, you're walking, and you are in one of two states right now that you're walking, or you're saved and you're regenerated, but you're allowing your flesh either to run things, or either you're yielding to God the Holy Ghost, and you're walking in the Spirit and mortifying the deeds of the flesh. One or the other. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." You see, we were dead. Our spirits was dead. We were born with dead spirits. But when the Lord Jesus Christ saved us and God the Holy Ghost regenerated us, our spirits were quickened and we're alive unto God and unto the things of God. That's the first aspect of man that we need to consider. The second thing is that the natural man, that is the unregenerated man, by nature is unregenerated. The natural man we were talking about is naturally unregenerated. He doesn't become unregenerated, unsaved, corruptible. He is born that way. He comes into existence that way. It's passed down through Adam and Adam's seed. Okay? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man," that is, the man that is not spiritual, that is not regenerated, "the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You see the difference? A natural man is not a spiritual man. He is not a man that has been born of God. He does not have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in him. His spirit is not regenerated, and he's not alive unto the things of God. And he doesn't become that. He is that when he comes into existence, when he is conceived, and he is conceived in sin. And when he's born in a fleshly body and comes out of his mother, he's a sinner. He is a natural man. An aspect that we need to consider about man, the measure of all things, is that man, the measure of all things, is born a natural man and an unregenerated man. Now, it seems to me that if a man was the measure of all things, he'd have control of his nature. He'd have control. He'd be able to control whether he was a natural man or either he was a spiritual man. But a man that's born naturally cannot control anything spiritual, because he does not know anything spiritual. The Bible says, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." That's what a natural man thinks of spiritual things. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. The only way you can understand spirituality is through spiritual things, you see. Notice how the verse speaks of both the natural man, the unregenerate man, the spirit of the world, and the man that has been regenerated, born again by God the Holy Ghost, and has now the spirit which is of God and can know the things of God. Two different spirits. A man is not naturally born from his mother with the spirit which is of God. I wasn't, and you wasn't, and nobody else is. And a man that has not been born again, like the scriptures say, you must be born again. If a man's not, that's what Jesus was saying in John chapter 3, was that you must be born again. Why? Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Man is born with the spirit of man. When he is born again, then only he's regenerated by God the Holy Ghost with the spirit that is of God. Man is naturally unregenerated. He does not know God, neither can he understand anything. And like the verse says, they're foolishness unto him. So that's an aspect of man that we need to consider. Now remember what we're talking about. We're talking about man, the measure of all things. You mean to tell me that a man, the measure of all things, cannot understand spiritual things? No, he can't. You didn't know anything about spiritual things. You might have thought you did, well, through Buddha and through Muhammad and through maybe some devils or some unclean spirits, but you didn't know anything about God or know anything about God the Holy Ghost and His teachings. You didn't know anything about that until you were born again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now that's not all. Not only is the first man, we have the first man Adam, and the last man the Lord Jesus Christ, is the natural man is by nature unregenerated. But there is such thing as the outward man that the Bible talks about, the physical man. The outward man. The Bible talks about that. It talks about, the scriptures talk about the first man and the last man. It talks about the natural man being unregenerated. And then it talks about the outward man, a physical man. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, all these psychologists and everything else talking about schizophrenia and talking about people having two different personalities and talking about, you know what? They don't know how close they are. It's funny that they can say these things and they're right. Because a saved person has two different personalities. He has an unregenerated personality, the outward man, that's going to perish. And then he also has the inward man that's renewed day by day. Isn't that interesting? But you know what? That talks about just what we just got through talking about, that they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. That's why these psychologists have so much problem with spirituality. They can't understand spirituality. They don't know anything about spirituality unless they're born again. And thank the Lord for the psychologists and the counselors and things like that that have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them and their mind in the Lord, and they know the spiritual things and what they're really talking about when they're talking to a person. But the Bible says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish." One aspect of man that we need to consider is the outward man, the physical man that the Bible talks about. It's going to perish unless the Lord comes, and we pray that He does. Unless He comes, you and I, our outward man, this body, is going to go back to the dirt and go back to the dust, just like the Lord said. But our inward man is being renewed day by day. And the Bible says when we put off this body and put off this tabernacle, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, the outward man. Now, the outward man is referred to as several names in the Scriptures, such as it's called the flesh. In Romans chapter 7, verse 25, listen to this. "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." You see, the outward man, the flesh. It's also called the wretched man in Scriptures. In the Scriptures. Romans chapter, the verse just prior to that says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death?" You see, Paul was talking about his outward man, his body, because he said it in the next verse. All right. It's also called our members. The outward man is called our members in the Scripture. Romans chapter 7 and verse 23. "But I see another law in my members." Your arms, your legs, your head, your torso. "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So we see the outward man in the Scriptures called the flesh. It is referred to as a wretched man. It is referred to as members. You know, the man, the measure of all things. Members. It's also referred to as the body. The body. It says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" The body of this death. The flesh is called the flesh. The body is called the outward man. It's called the flesh. It's called the wretched man. It's called members. It's called the body. It's also called the sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Listen to this. "For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh." You see, it's referred to, our outward man is referred to as sinful flesh. The Lord, God the Son, coming in the likeness of sinful flesh. His flesh was not sinful. It was like our sinful flesh. We talked about that a couple lessons ago, or I think maybe even the last lesson. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the outward man is referred to as mortal bodies. Remember, natural, not immortal, but mortal bodies. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11. The Bible says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." The outward man, the flesh, the body, the wretched man, our members, is referred to as mortal bodies. You see, we're still mortal. We're in these bodies. It's also called a living sacrifice. Our bodies are referred to as living sacrifices. Now, we're talking about some aspects that we need to know about this man, the measure of all things. You know, part of man is his body. We're spirit, soul, and body. And so far, I haven't seen anything to encourage the man, the measure of all things, having to do with this outward man. Have you? Romans chapter 12, verse 1, calls the outward man a living sacrifice. In verse 12, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, he's talking to the saved, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Your body's alive. The Lord said, Brother Paul said there, present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, he not only tells us what to present, your body, the outward man, he says, but also that it should be holy and acceptable unto God, a living sacrifice. And then there's one other that the Scripture refers to the outward man as the temple of the Holy Ghost. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 19. Brother Paul says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? Does it get any plainer than that? It just don't get no plainer than that. There's nothing confusing about that at all. God the Holy Ghost, when you're born again, comes into your body and dwells in you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies. So we see that the one thing we need to consider about this man, the measure of all things, is that there's a first man, Adam, and there's a last man, Jesus Christ. And from that first man to that last man brings a complete and utter change in that man. He gets a different body, he gets a different mind, a different way of looking at things, he gets the mind of Christ, he gets a body likened unto the body of Christ, likened unto the perfect body of Christ. I didn't say that right. A body like Christ. And then we see that the natural man is unregenerate. And if he's not born again, he is a natural man, and he does not know anything about the spiritual things or the Spirit of God. And then the Bible talks about the outward man as a physical man, the body. Okay, that's not all. Another thing is the inward man, not the outward man, but the inward man. The Scriptures talk about the inward man. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You hear these people talking about that you're not supposed to talk to yourself. Well, you're not talking to yourself. You're talking to the other man. The inward man is talking to the outward man, saying, no, you don't get your way today. You're dead. You don't get your way today. Yes, you have two different personalities. You have two different minds. There's an outward man that has a spiritual mind. There's an inward man that has a physical and a natural mind, an unregenerated mind, a different way of thinking. Everything is different. You're a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're going from a natural state to a spiritual state. And when the Lord comes to get us, we will be in a complete spiritual state. We'll even have spiritual bodies. I don't know how the Lord's going to do that, but he's going to do it. The body that he was in after his resurrection was a spiritual body, but yet he told them, it's me, come touch me. He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone. He didn't say anything about blood, did he? Man, the measure of all things. And the next thing that we want to see, the fifth thing about that we need to consider concerning some aspects of man, is not only the first man and the last man, not only the natural man that's unregenerated, not only the outward man that's physical, and not only the inward man that's spiritual, but the new man that is regenerated. The new man that is regenerated. The scriptures speak about that. The scriptures speak about that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Bible also says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A new man. A regenerated man. A new man. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. The Lord did that. The Lord, through his flesh, sacrificing his flesh for sin and for sinners, put away, abolished the enmity, the problem that was between God and man. And even the law of commandments contained in ordinances that man couldn't keep. Man couldn't keep them laws. Something had to be done. And the Lord made himself, for to make himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Making peace. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Nothing natural about that man. Nothing unregenerated about that man. Now, our outward man, the body, we're still in this body and we're still carrying it around until either one of two things happen. The Lord comes and raptures us and changes us, like the Bible says. Or either we die, our bodies die, and we leave and depart from these bodies. One or the other. Now, up to this point, we've studied what the scriptures say about man. What do we say? What do we say? Is man the measure of all things? Now, before we answer, let's be fair in our judgment. After all, Jesus said himself, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. He said that in John chapter 7, verse 24. Now, through all the evidence that we've studied so far about man, and we've not pointed a finger, we've not done anything. We've just studied the scriptures to see what the Bible says. The Bible says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Let's check the fruit. After all, the fruit should show us how far man has come, right? He says he's a measure of all things, and he's come, and he's every time you read something somewhere, and every time you hear a man talk, oh, we're getting better, we're advancing, we're doing this, we are the measure of all things. After all, we should know man by his fruit. The fruit should show us how far man has come and in his accomplishments, right? The fruit. If man is indeed the measure of all things, the fruit should identify him as such, right? Okay. Well, let's see. So we've seen the aspects of man that we need to consider, and we have considered it. We know that the Bible has taught us there's a difference in a first man and the last man, and the Bible makes it very clear that one is spiritual and one is natural. And that was the other thing that we studied, was the natural man is unregenerated. He can't help himself. Well, wait a minute. We're talking about the man, the measure of all things. But this man can't help himself. And then the outward man is a physical man. He's not even spiritual. He's physical. And then the inward man is spiritual. The scriptures teach us that. But then the Bible says that the spirit is dead in a natural man, that he receiveth not the things of God. So how is a man spiritual? How is a man spiritual when his spirit is dead? Well, we have the new man, the regenerated man. Now that makes sense. And that's scripture. But the Lord said, Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. So let's check the fruits of man, this measure of all things. How are we going to do that? Well, you figure that if a man is the measure of all things, he ought to be able to control this thing, this matter of death, shouldn't he? I mean, that is what every man is running to and fro about in the world today, trying to figure out how to stay alive, right? What are some of the ways that a man can die? I mean, man, the measure of all things, ought to be able to crawl. Even if he is dying, he ought to be able to narrow it down and control how he can die, right? One thing that's definitely a fact is the desire of man to keep himself alive, and he's still searching out ways to do that. Here and there, up and down, in and out, and so on. He's searching to no avail. He still dies. It is man's despising of God's word that drives him to try to be self-existent, try to be a self-existent one like the Lord is. Man just wants to be in control of everything. He don't want God to have no say-so, even in his life or in his death. That's why he's searching so hard to try to figure out how to keep himself alive, because then he can look at God in his face and say, get lost. Remember what the Lord said about man and death in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7? The Bible says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And guess what? Man ain't figured out how to overcome that yet. Ever since the fall, man has died. And in Genesis, after the fall, the Bible doesn't say anything about anybody dying until after that. And then it says, and he died. And he died. Adam lived so many years, and he died. And then on and on and on, and he died. Death. Now, we know that all the things that the Lord says come to pass on the button. And boy, this one sure has, hadn't it? I mean, if you've lived any amount of years, brothers and sisters, you can see the difference of when you can see the difference in life when you're 5 years old, when you're 10 years old, when you're 15 years old, when you're 25, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, you can tell a difference, can't you? You can tell a difference. You know how many people that have died, that died? All of them. All of them died. Every one of them that died, died. Now, you would think that would stand up and speak loud to folks, but it doesn't. Man don't pay no attention to that. Man don't pay no attention to that at all. Man ignores it. And the one that controls death and life ignores him. He continues down his fairy tale road to discovery on how to stay alive on my own. Man's never going to have control of life and death. God says so. Man, the measure of all things. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." Now, how is that confusing? The Lord killeth and maketh alive. Can man, the measure of all things, quote that? Man killeth. Well, he does that for sure. Man killeth and maketh alive. You say, well, in the hospitals, Brother Ted. No, they're not making anybody alive in the hospitals. They're keeping them alive. There's a big difference in that, brother, sister. They're not making anybody alive. I mean, I'm not at all in any way condemning medicine or condemning honest and life-saving doctors and nurses and the people that care. Jesus said that the sick people have need of a physician. Jesus wasn't against going and trying to get fixed up when you're sick. But he was about worshiping that stuff and thinking that you can control it when you know you can't. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Period. Well, let's look at some ways that man can die, and let's see if man's the measure of all things. Well, man can suffocate. That is, like drowning or being lynched, hung by the neck, by smothering or being strangled, and the rest of it. He can suffocate to death. He can die of diseases like AIDS, tuberculosis, hepatitis, and all the rest of them. I don't even think one man knows all the diseases. And when he does think he's got a hold of all of them and trying to find out and have to identify how to make antibodies and make this and that and the other, another one pops up, doesn't it? He can die of cancer, leukemia, breast cancer, lung cancer, kidney cancer. He can die of natural disasters, an earthquake, tsunami, hurricane, volcano eruptions, tornadoes. I mean, I'm not telling you things that he could. These people have died from these things. The man, the measure of all things. He can die of nuclear warfare. There's been people died of nuclear poisoning. He can die of biological warfare. They kill each other with biological weapons. Man, the measure of all things. He can die of allergic reactions to foods and venoms and medications. Happens every day. He can die of animal attacks. Dogs, wolves, wildcats, bears. It's happened before. Man's died of that. He can die of internal bleeding. He's died of that. He can die of accidents. Cars, planes, trains, boats, skydiving. Accidents. Not even intend on dying and die. Man can die. The man, the measure of all things, can die of suicide. Imagine that. Man, the measure of all things, can die of suicide? He can hang himself. He can jump off of a building. During the Great Depression, people were jumping out of all them buildings and killing themselves because they found out their bank account was zeroed out. They can jump off of cliffs. They do it over in Japan all the time. There's a cliff over there that's known as the right by that forest, that's I forget what it's called, but there's a forest over there that people say that they go through there all the time because that's supposed to be the most beautiful place to go kill yourself. And then there's some cliffs over there that they jump off of. What's that bridge? There's a bridge. I'm trying to think of it. Okay, it'll come to me. But bridges. People jump off bridges. They take pills. They slit their wrists. I've seen a man slit his wrist right in front of me. He didn't die because I wanted to put a noose around his neck and choke him for doing it. We took him to the emergency room. Today's big problem, man can die of drug overdose. Pills and heroin and crack. Fentanyl's a big one now. Cocaine, methamphetamine. Man, the measure of all things. He can die of murder if he don't kill himself or don't get killed by accident or get killed by hanging or something like that. Then somebody else will kill him. Murder. Torture. Shooting. Stabbed. Strangled. Genocide. Poisoning. Well, this man that's a measure of all things is something, ain't he? And then other things like cholera, starvation, old age, heart attack, anorexia, obesity, broken heart, stillborn, head injuries, blood loss, extreme heat and extreme cold, and diabetes. I'm almost out of breath, this man, such a measure of all things. You know something? 93% of all humans who have ever lived are now dead. 93%. For every person alive right now, there are 15 people who are no longer alive. A human cannot be exposed to extreme heat or extreme cold. It'll kill him within hours or even minutes. At the top of Mount Everest, it's 29,035 feet. That's higher than some planes fly. There's only one-third of the breathable air compared to sea level. Humans try it, and they die. Any higher is uninhabitable. No air to breathe properly. So you can't go up. You can't breathe down under you. You can't go in the dirt down under you and breathe. You can't go too high because your air runs out. Man, the measure of all things, huh? When you go to space, you have to carry your breath with you. You die. A human cannot submerge very far in water. Not only is there no way to get the oxygen for yourself, but the deeper the depth, the more water pressure is going to affect you. The Mariana Trench is 7 miles deep. The human body would have to withstand a pressure of 15,000 pounds per square inch to survive. In other words, for every inch square of your body, there would be 15,000 pounds of pressure on that square. Can you imagine the pressure? You would die. Chernobyl, remember that? Is not inhabitable for humans after 25 years, even more years than that. I don't know how many years it's been since then, but 25 at least. Chernobyl's not inhabitable for humans after 25 years, and that was just an accident. But you know something strange? All the wildlife has moved in and is flourishing. Man, the measure of all things. Half of the people that ever lived died of malaria. Isn't that something? That's from the Global Peace Index, by the way. Now, we all know that this list that I just got through talking to you about and sharing with you, we all know that the list above does not even begin to touch the ways that humans have died and can die. I bet you could come up with a list that didn't mention any of this, and you could come up with a whole page yourself of how man dies. Man, the measure of all things. We're talking about an outward man that has flesh, is unregenerated, does not know anything about God, thinks God is foolishness and thinks the things of God is foolishness until he is born again and can't be born again without Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder why man cannot get dying and not dying figured out while leaving God out of the equation? He's never going to figure it out. You know why? Because of one verse, one sentence that Jesus said. In John 14:6, he said, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Man, the measure of all things. Well, we're going to stop right there. This thing ain't leading exactly where you want it to, is it? But it's true. It's true. And anybody that's got any sense at all will accept it because it's absolutely true. And I know you don't have any problem accepting it because you know that's what the Bible teaches. But praise the Lord, that makes us appreciate the Scriptures and appreciate the Savior that much more and what He's done for us, huh? He saved us out of a lot of stuff. Man, the measure of all things, standing up and pulling his shoulders back and holding his arms out and or sticking his chest out and his chin up in the air. I'm the measure of all things. All right, well, we're going to stop right there, and let me give you these scriptures for today, if you got you a pencil there, and we're going to go into another, we're just about spent enough time and gotten far enough, we'll just kind of pause right there, and we'll go in to another thing on our next one. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 42 through 49 was our first Bible verse in this lesson today. Romans chapter 8, verse 10 through 16, and then chapter 6, verse 13. James chapter 2, verse 26. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. John chapter 6, verse 63. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And here's some in Romans here. Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Romans chapter 7, verse 24. Verse 23. And then we read 24 again. And these are just going in order according to what we was talking about. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Romans chapter 7, verse 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. John chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 20. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39. And the last one we read today is John chapter 14, verse 6. Okay? So we'll stop right there. And I don't know how we skipped. I know how. That one verse, Deuteronomy chapter 32, you're probably saying, I don't remember reading that because we didn't. I passed over it by accident. When we're talking about the Lord killeth and maketh alive, he bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. Also in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 39, it says, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Yep. Not even the man, the measure of all things. The measure of all things. Let's get this thing right. Let's just get it right and believe it and believe God and move on. And accept God's grace and thank him for it and give him the glory for what he's done for us. Because if it wasn't for him, my, oh my, what a mess we'd be in, wouldn't we? What a mess we was in whenever we were born. The mess the whole human race is in. But we'll continue and talk about some other things on this next lesson. And one thing that we are going to talk about, the category in the next lessons, is ways that man fears. We talked about ways that man can die. We're going to talk about ways that man fears. Man is scared. The man, the measure of all things, fears things. But we'll see. We'll see what the Bible says. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. I love you with Christ's love. Thank you for joining in today. And isn't it wonderful to study God's Word together? At least the Lord has left us with something that is true that we can come together and know that's true. Amen. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.